Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, January the 8th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to lead us day by day and to show us the events that are taking place around us. We're grateful for that. Today we ask that you would continue to prepare us for the time to come so that we might stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to continue our dealing with the concept of surveillance. And there is an article found in the Denver Post. It was originally published in the Washington Post. But the date of the publication was March the 7th, 2017. And the title of the article is Why the CIA is using your TVs, smartphones, and cars for spying. Again, why the CIA is using your TVs, smartphones, and cars for spying. Now, the article was originally written by Craig Timberg, Ellen Nakashima, and Elizabeth Dowskin, all three of them from the Washington Post. But today, we are reading it out of the Denver Post. And the date of publication, March the 7th, 2017. The title again, Why the CIA is using your TVs, smartphones, and cars for spying. Here's the article. The latest revelations about the U.S. government's powerful hacking tools potentially take surveillance right into the homes and hip pockets of billions of technology users worldwide, showing how a remarkable variety of everyday devices can be turned to spy on their owners. Televisions, smartphones, and even antivirus software are all vulnerable to CIA hacking, according to WikiLeaks documents released Tuesday. The capabilities described include recording the sounds, images, and private text messages of users, even when they resort to encrypted apps to communicate. While many of the attack technologies had been previously discussed at cybersecurity conferences, experts were startled to see evidence that the CIA had turned so many theoretical vulnerabilities into functioning attack tools against staples of modern life. These include widely used internet routers, smartphones, and Mac and Windows computers. In the case of a tool called Weeping Angel for attacking Samsung smart TVs, WikiLeaks wrote, after infestation, Weeping Angel places the target TV in a fake-off mode so that the owner falsely believes the TV is off when it is on. In fake-off mode, the TV operates as a bug, recording conversations in the room and sending them over the internet to a covert CIA server. The CIA reportedly also has studied whether it could infect vehicle control systems for cars and trucks, which WikiLeaks alleged could be used to conduct nearly undetectable assassinations. And a specialized CIA unit called the Mobile Device Branch produced malware to control and steal information from iPhones, which, according to WikiLeaks, were a particular focus because of the smartphone's popularity among social, political, diplomatic, and business elites. The agency also targeted popular phones running Google Android, the world's leading mobile operating system. WikiLeaks said it redacted list of CIA surveillance targets, though it said they included targets and machines in Latin America, Europe, and the United States. The anti-secrecy group also said that by developing such intrusive technology, rather than helping tech companies patch flaws in their products, the CIA was undermining efforts to protect the cybersecurity of Americans. The argument that there is some terrorist using a Samsung TV somewhere as a reason to not disclose that vulnerability to the company when it puts thousands of Americans at risk, I fundamentally disagree with, said Alex Rice, chief technology officer for Hackenrock, a startup that enlists hackers to report security gaps to companies and organizations in exchange for cash. The Trove released Tuesday, which the Washington Post could not independently verify and the CIA has declined to confirm, included 8,761 documents. The first batch is a series of planned releases. This first group, at least, has important differences from the 2013 revelations by former National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden. His trove of documents largely described mass surveillance of internet-based communication systems, while the WikiLeaks release more than often describes attacks on individual devices. By targeting devices, the CIA reportedly gains access to even well-encrypted communications on such popular apps as Signal and WhatsApp without having to crack the encryption itself. The WikiLeaks reports acknowledged that differences by saying that the CIA had found ways to bypass as opposed to defeat encryption technologies. The idea that the CIA and the NSA can hack into devices is kind of old news, said Johns Hopkins University cryptologist Matthew Green. Anyone who thought they couldn't was living in a fantasy world. Snowden's revelations and the resulting backlash made strong encryption a major well-funded cause for privacy advocates and, perhaps more important, technology companies that had the engineering expertise and budgets to protect data as it flowed across the world. Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Yahoo, and many other companies announced significant new initiatives, in part to protect their brands against accusations by some users that they had made it too easy for the NSA to collect information from their systems. Many websites, meanwhile, began encrypting their data flows to users to prove and to prevent snooping. Encryption tools such as the Tor were strengthened. Encrypting apps for private messaging, such as Signal, Telegram, and WhatsApp, exploded in popularity, especially among users around the world who were fearful of government intrusion. In the days after the U.S. presidential election last fall, Signal was among the most downloaded programs in Apple's App Store, and downloads grew by more than 300%. Open Whisper Systems, which developed Signal, released a statement Tuesday saying, "The CIA WikiLeaks story today is about getting malware onto phones. None of the exploits are in Signal or break Signal protocol encryption." WhatsApp declined to comment, and Telegram did not respond to requests for comment. Google declined to comment, while Samsung did not respond to requests for comment. Now let me pause here to let you know that you see what's happening here. There isn't an electronic device that you have today that does not allow for the kind of surveillance that is ongoing and has been ongoing for a number of years. Continuing the article, Apple is deeply committed to safeguarding our customers' privacy and security, they say. The technology built into today's iPhones represents the best data security available to consumers, and we're constantly working to keep it that way, Apple spokesman Fred Zanes said Tuesday in a statement. While our initial analysis indicates that many of the issues leaked today were already patched into the iOS, we will continue work to rapidly address any identified vulnerabilities. We always urge customers to download the latest software to make sure they have the most recent security updates. U.S. government authorities have complained loudly that the post-Snowden wave of encryption was undermining their ability to investigate serious crimes, such as terrorism and child pornography. The FBI, in 2016, sued Apple in hopes of forcing it to unlock an iPhone used by the San Bernardino, California killers before announcing, amid heavy public criticism, that it had other ways to crack the device. Against that backdrop, many privacy advocates argued that devices, often called endpoints, for their place in chains of communication that can crisscross continents, were the best available targets in a world with widespread online encryption. The WikiLeaks documents suggest that the CIA may have reached the same conclusion. It would certainly be consistent with the hypothesis that we made real progress in the encryption we've been introducing, said Peter Eckersley, Technology Product Director for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a San Francisco-based civil liberties group. It's impossible to be 100% certain, but reading the tea leaves, it's plausible. The WikiLeaks revelations also serve as a reminder that whatever the political backlash to revelations about digital spying, it is not going away and probably will continue to grow. Aside from the United States, many other advanced nations such as China, Russia, Britain, and Israel have extremely sophisticated tools for digital spying. Less advanced nations have gained access to powerful online spying technology through a robust and lightly regulated industry of surveillance contractors throughout the world. On Tuesday, resignation and frustration rippled through Silicon Valley as technologists grappled with the revelations of yet another U.S. government attempt to exploit their systems. And cybersecurity experts reacted with alarm. "This is explosive," said Jake Williams, founder of Rendition InfoSec, a cybersecurity firm. "The material highlights specific antivirus products that can be defeated, going further than a release of NSA hacking tools last year," he said. The WikiLeaks release revealed that the CIA has sophisticated stealth capabilities that enable hackers not only to infiltrate systems, but to evade detection, as well as abilities to move inside a system freely as if they owned it. Nicholas Weaver, a computer security researcher at the University of California in Berkeley, said the dates in the WikiLeaks files suggest that the documents were taken in February or March 2016. At least two of them are marked top secret, which suggests that somebody in early 2016 managed to compromise a top secret CIA development system and is willing to say that they did. One internal CIA document listed a set of Apple iPhone exploits, tools that can be used to compromise the device by taking advantage of software flaws. Some of the tools are based on 0 days, which are software vulnerabilities that have not been shared with the manufacturer. So some of these descriptions will allow Apple to fix the vulnerabilities, Weaver said. But at the same time, they're out in the public, and whoever stole this data could use them against U.S. interests. So you see what is happening here. There's nothing that you have which is private. And you've got to get accustomed to the idea that you're really not speaking privately. Most of what you're doing, most of your searches, most of your contacts are known to the Central Intelligence Agency and the NSA, National Security Agency. The article that we were just reading from is found in the Denver Post, published on March the 7th, 2017. And the title of that article is "Why the CIA is Using Your TV, Smartphones, and Cars for Spying." There is another article that we will probably take a brief look at before we close. It's found in USA Today, published December the 8th, 2013. The writer of this article is John Kelly. And the title of the article is "Cell Phone Data Spying. It's Not Just the NSA." The title again: "Cell Phone Data Spying. It's Not Just the CIA, the NSA." And it has a subtext to that topic: "An increasing number of police agencies across the USA are snatching your cell phone data, whether you are a suspect or not." Here's some of that article. The National Security Agency isn't the only government entity secretly collecting data from people's cell phones. Local police are increasingly scooping it up too. Armed with new technologies, including mobile devices that tap into cell phone data in real time, dozens of local and state police agencies are capturing information about thousands of cell phone users at a time. Whether they are targets of an investigation or not, according to public records obtained by USA Today and Gannett newspaper and TV stations. The records from more than 125 police agencies in 33 states reveal the following. About one in four law enforcement agencies have used a tactic known as a tower dump, which gives police data about the identity, activity, and location of any phone that connects to the targeted cell phone towers over a set span of time, usually an hour or two. A typical dump covers multiple towers and wireless providers and can net information from thousands of phones. At least 25 police departments own a Stingray, a suitcase-sized device that costs as much as $400,000 and acts as a fake cell tower. The system, typically installed in a vehicle so that it can be moved into any neighborhood, tricks all nearby phones into connecting to it and feeding data to the police. In some states, the devices are available to any local police department via state surveillance units. The federal government funds most of the purchases via anti-terror grants. The National Security Agency isn't the only government entity secretly collecting data from people's cell phones. Police are increasingly scooping it up too. 36 more police agencies refused to say whether they used this tactic. Most denied public records requests, arguing that criminals or terrorists could use the information to thwart important crime fighting and surveillance technology. Police maintain that the cell phone data can help solve crimes, track fugitives, or abduct children, or abducted children, or even foil a terror attack. Organizations such as the American Civil Liberties Union and Electronic Privacy Information Center say the swelling ability by even small town police departments to easily and quickly obtain large amounts of cell phone data raises questions about the erosion of people's privacy as well as their Fourth Amendment protections against unreasonable search and seizure. I don't think that these devices should never be used, but at the same time, you should clearly be getting a warrant. In most states, police can get many kinds of cell phone data without obtaining a warrant, which they need to search someone's house or car. Privacy advocates, legislators, and courts are debating the legal standards with increasing intensity as technology and the amount of sensitive information people entrust to their devices evolves. Many people are aware that a smartphone is an adept location tracking device. It's constantly sending signals to nearby cell towers, even when it's not being used. And wireless carriers store data about your device, from where it's been to whom you've called and texted, some of it for years. The power for police is alluring, a vast data net that can be a cutting-edge crime-fighting tool. In October 2012 in Colorado, a 10-year-old girl vanished while she walked to school. Volunteers scoured Westminster looking for Jessica Ridgway. Local police took a clandestine tack. They got a court order for data about every cell phone that connected to five providers' towers on the girl's route. Later, they asked for 15 more cell phone site data dumps. Colorado's authorities won't divulge how many people's data they obtain, but testimony in other cases indicates it was at least several thousand people's phones. So you can easily see what is happening here. And these articles are very, very descriptive of exactly what is happening. The second article, as we have been reading, is found in the USA Today, published on December the 8th, 2013. The writer of that article is John Kelly. The title of the article is Cell Phone Data Spying. It's Not Just the NSA. Describes what the police are able to do and accomplish today with your cell phone. So privacy's gone. And you ought to have known this for quite a while. As I keep saying, the phones that you have in your pocket, they're not there for your convenience. They weren't created for your convenience. They have become the most effective means of tracking every single person on the planet. We need not fear, for we are assured by our Heavenly Father that He will protect and guide and do for us that which we cannot do ourselves. So as we go forward today, let us recognize that we must rest in Him. The place of true safety is the arms of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you continue to reveal to us day by day. We are grateful that you continue to warn us about where we stand and how things will be. We ask that you would give us the strength and the courage to stand with you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, January the 8th, 2019.